Joining me right now, the managing director of Breitbart Texas, Brandon Darby. Brandon, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, okay, this is a story basically, and of course, people can follow you on Twitter at Brandon Darby, and basically how this went down, it seems. A lot of people were asking you questions about the Bundy Ranch standoff, and you finally decided, you know what, I'm going to hop on a plane, I'm going to go to Nevada, and I'm going to check it out myself. And you and Logan Churchwell over at Breitbart Texas put out some great reporting, great stories, and you really were able to go in depth into this whole thing in Nevada. So kind of tell us what you were able to witness and what you were able to dig up when you went out to Nevada.
Well, yeah, thanks. Well, the situation was one where, you know, we have a lot of people, and I think rightfully so, in the country, from both left and right, actually, but in this case, right, who are very upset about overstepping and abuses of power by the federal government right now, and about corruption. So a case came up that's actually been going on for quite some time, but it came into the media spotlight about the Bundy family, ranchers in Nevada, about 90 miles or so northeast of Las Vegas, close to the Arizona-Utah intersection and border. What happened was basically the media framing was that the federal government was taking the land of a rancher and seizing his cattle, his private property, and then the rancher was willing to use force and was threatening to defend his property with force, with firearms, if the federal government took his land. Well, that narrative is very seductive, and obviously, you know, to a large segment of the right was very offensive. And so we began to look into that, and then as different militia groups and others started saying they were going there to help defend the property, and then the federal government was swearing to meet force with force, it looked like a really bad situation in the making. So we went about the process of looking into the matter and figuring out what was going on, and what we found was that some of the dominant right media narrative was accurate, but a lot of it wasn't. And so the issue was actually quite complex. And so we began to report on it. I went there, and then I was in the middle of the conflict as a journalist, in my role as a journalist. And I, you know, was able to really ascertain, I think, have a very complex understanding of the complex matter.
What, as far as the reporting on the right, what would you say they embellished? And as far as the reporting on the left, what do you think they embellished?
Well, I think the reporting on the right made it sound like the guy was getting his land taken, and that was the issue that's been going on for 20 years in the federal court. And they were actually correct. However, there was a lot more to it. What the basic gist of, just to be simple, I'm going to call the tracts of land track A, B, C, and D, okay? So his family in the 1800s was, you know, Mexico ceded that territory to the U.S. in, I think, 1848. And then I think in 1870, the government began trying to populate the area, or maybe it was his family that was at that point. Maybe they began that a little earlier. And they said basically, like, hey, go and take 160 or 150 acres or whatever land you can functionally work and sustain can be yours. We need people to populate it, right, and to settle there. So his family went out and settled, and they're like, well, we can't settle here because we can't farm here. There's not enough soil or rain, and we can't have cattle on this limited amount of space because there's just very little greenery. And the federal government said, well, we own all the land because it was just ceded to us from Mexico in the west or Nevada. So you can use, if you settle track A, we'll always let you use track B, your descendants. So we'll always let you use track B to feed your cattle to help make sure you can have enough head. So that happened. That worked. As time went on, the federal government came in and, you know, they created the EPA and they created the Bureau of Land Management and they came in and said, hey, in 92, they said, hey, there's a tortoise that's endangered on your land, therefore you can't use it as much. You need to reduce the number of cattle you have. And the family said, well, we need that number of cattle to survive. And you promised. And the federal government said, yeah, well, there's a federal act called the Endangered Species Act, and you can't use that land as much. Well, the family, at that point, that's where things really started to deteriorate. So in that context, indeed, the family was correct, and it was an issue of the federal government violating its word to a rancher family that's been there since 1870. That's all very legitimate. But what was not legitimate was we discovered that not only was the rancher using track A, his, and track B, which he had the right to, regardless of what the federal government was saying, what he had the right to, the rancher was also using track C and D, which he didn't have the right to, and then it got pretty shady at that point. So there was a lot, the family was right on a lot of terms, and the family was wrong in a lot of ways. But then, you know, after 20 years of court battles, we found that, you know, it got very complex. And there's another issue that the right was very wrong on, is they said that a lot of right media began to say that Harry Reid was behind the land grab for a solar power outlet, solar power plant or array for a Chinese company. And that was absolutely not accurate. That wasn't accurate. I can see why people got it wrong, but unless you spent 6 hours digging through documents and looking at maps and tax records, you would think that. But once you really got into it, the tract of land that Harry Reid was actually trying to take for a Chinese company solar farm was 20 miles away.
Interesting.
Well, I know it's complicated and weird, but basically the bottom line is this is what happened. Is about 400 people showed up and started to camp on the ranch, swearing that they would defend the ranch and the ranch's property. The federal government sent in untold numbers of federal SWAT agents with high power. I mean, it was very intense, very militaristic, armored vehicles. The whole standoff ended with the federal government saying, okay, we're going to leave the ranch. And then they went down to where they were holding his cattle several miles away through the desert. And then all of the militia types and all of the neighbors of this rancher, about 35 or 40 people on horseback, this is the family members, the neighbors, all of the other ranchers, they went there, the media went there, and it ended up with a situation where you had about 40 SWAT agents behind vehicles, fully loaded, ready to go, very sketchy, and about 400 armed people in a group, and both sides yelling at each other, telling them to disarm first, and the federal government actually backed off.
Wow.
And then once the federal government backed off, they brought the rancher to see his cattle, and once that happened, the rancher came out and said, hey, they've decided to give our cattle back. And then it was just really intense, because then all the militia guys left, and you just had 35 or 40 horse-backed ranchers and family members and neighbors waiting, and then they finally went the half mile to where the cattle were kept, and then here it comes through this desert arroyo or this desert wash. Here comes this, you know, all of these cattle being run by all of these people on horseback. It was just really insane scene. It was unbelievable that it occurred that way.